We should award the Australian of the Year to whoever pays the most tax. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world, and whatever time it is you're tuning in, welcome to Rampton's Radio. Random ramblings recorded at Rampton's Road. So, the recent bushfire crisis in Australia has seen massive contributions to charities around the country. Celeste Barber, who is one of the funniest people on all of Instagram, surely, raised over $50 million from 1.2 million ordinary people who donated an average of 40 bucks each. Andrew Forrest, who is not one of the funniest people on Instagram, ostensibly, he donated $70 million. Now, forgive me for being suspicious of it, but the journalism I've seen looking into it suggests really he donated more like $10 million, with the rest going to organisations that are under his control, where, best case scenario, he's using that money to create positive media spin and perhaps a tax deduction, and more likely, in my cynical opinion, he's actively using the money to spin the narrative to suit his own future financial interests. Amazon, owned by Jeff Bezos, who is on paper the richest man in the world, donated $1 million Australian. And he's worth about $150 billion Australian, give or take. Now, if you're worth $1 million, which the average Australian could aspire to as they approach retirement, that's the equivalent of donating $6.50. $1 billion is a crazy amount of money. A billion is so much more than a million that it's difficult and or impossible to fathom. So 1,000 millimetres is a metre and one step out the front door. 1,000,000 millimetres is a kilometre. And so if you step out the front door here at Rampton's Road and head west, it won't even get you to Greensboro. 1,000,000,000 millimetres is 1,000 kilometres, and if we leave here, it'll take you well past Adelaide. If you have $1 billion in cash and 50 years left to live, you can spend $54,760 a day and not run out. That's if you just kept it in cash under your bed, although you'd need a pretty big bed. If you kept the $1 billion in a bank instead and earned just 2% interest, you could spend almost the same amount of money, $54,790 a day, and you'd never draw down on the $1 billion. You can spend $55,000 a day, every day, forever, and still be a billionaire. If you were earning 3%, that number would be $82,000 a day. If you're earning 10%, it'd be $274,000 every day. $1 billion is so much money. Honestly, even if your hobby was just piling up cash and setting fire to it, $1 billion is so much money you'd get bored before you ran out. My friend Pete once sat next to this dude on a plane, and the guy sold massive yachts to the super wealthy. These are boats that are like 200 foot long and they cost $50 million at a minimum. And Pete says to the guy, who buys a 200 foot yacht? And the guy says, people who currently own a 150 foot yacht. There's no doubt, okay, that there's a correlation between income and happiness or quality of life. And the data I've seen suggests that at low incomes, there's a pretty direct relationship. And as your income increases from zero, your happiness or well-being increases accordingly. But that relationship tapers off and disappears at a combined family income in Australia of somewhere around $70,000 to $100,000 per annum. So if you have no money, usually not very happy, not feeling very well. Once you get to around $70,000 to $100,000 of combined annual income, it tapers off, and any additional income above that doesn't really make you or anyone in your family any happier or increase your feelings of well-being. So money can't buy happiness, but when you don't have much of it, it can certainly alleviate suffering. And it seems to me that if amassing more and more money doesn't make someone any happier, there's got to be something else motivating these people, usually men, although Gina Reinhart demonstrates that acting like an evil dragon sitting on a hoard of gold isn't solely the domain of men. There's got to be something else that motivates people to continue to kind of, I don't know, crazily pursue more and more money. It seems to me, at the kind of extreme upper end of the spectrum, amassing more and more wealth is basically just a game that a certain type of person, possibly exhibiting sociopathic tendencies, tends to enjoy. And their incentive, and this is important, I think, their incentive for amassing wealth is not, in fact, the happiness or the well-being that the wealth will directly afford them. Because, as the science has shown, it doesn't afford any additional happiness or well-being. And so the incentive is just to be seen to be making more money than the next guy, to be seen to be winning, to be seen to be successful. And I think we see that desire to be seen play out anytime the opportunity to be seen as a wealthy benefactor, a wealthy philanthropist appears. And like the super rich seem far more likely to use their money for public good when their exposure and visibility is going to be maximized. When the Notre Dame burnt out, billionaires just rushed in for the opportunity to be seen as the savior of this incredible cultural artifact. And so if the super rich want to be seen for their wealth and recognized for their contributions, I reckon there's a really simple tweak we could make to the taxation system, which could have a remarkable effect on the behavior of the super rich. So I think we should make the annual contribution of every single taxpayer in Australia freely available information on a searchable database that's just shared online to the public, to the world. And we should award Australian of the Year to whoever pays the most tax. It always annoyed me. It always pissed me off so much. We gave Pat Rafter, right, the tennis player who soaked up hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars of Australian investment to make him better at tennis. We awarded him Australian of the Year because he was good at tennis and spoke well in the media and based himself financially out of Jamaica or somewhere like that, a tax haven, so that he wouldn't have to contribute back to the Australian public. We made that guy Australian of the Year. And Leighton Hewitt, who benefited from all the same systems that Pat Rafter did, but carried on like a bit of a pork chop and wasn't as popular, never got made Australian of the Year, despite the fact that he has always legally resided in Adelaide and paid untold millions upon millions of dollars in tax because he really is an Australian. I just think that's insane. So maybe we just give Australian of the Year to whoever pays the most into the taxpayer purse. And maybe everyone who pays more than some threshold, like $1 million in a year in tax, gets awarded an Order of Australia in a big ceremony. We have a televised event where they get lauded and like celebrated for having contributed so much to society. And then people who are consistently paying more than $100,000 a year every year, maybe they get a badge with, it's kind of like like at the MCC, every year when you get your membership, they tell you how many years you've been a member, unbroken. All the footy clubs do that to maximise membership retention when the club's going through a low ebb. And so we should do that for taxpayers. And every year, like if they have an unbroken streak of paying over $100,000 a year or something, they get silver benefits after 10 years. And that means that they get some kind of preferential treatment somewhere. They get gold after 20 years, diamond after 30 years, etc. And that essentially the benefit of that is some kind of public recognition or adulation. Because I reckon if the super rich are going to have a dick measuring contest anyway, we should at least tweak the incentives so that the public benefits from that contest. Let's turn paying tax into the most celebrated way to measure dicks. Let's make the top 10 taxpayers every year household names. In 91, Kerry Packer said at a, I don't know if it was a royal commission or something, he's in a room full of politicians being grilled over his kind of financial activities, I guess. And he said, I quote, "If anybody in this country doesn't minimize their tax, they want their heads red. Because as a government, I can tell you, you're not spending it all that well that we should be donating extra." And 30 years on, his words ring true, I reckon, for most Australians. And I feel pretty comfortable saying for basically all of the super rich, all of them are spending massive amounts of money to minimize their tax contribution. And to counter that, I reckon we should just shamelessly celebrate the top taxpayers with official awards, TV interviews, and public acclaim. And that if we did that, I reckon that would soon start to shift their behavior. Because the money they're amassing isn't actually buying them anything that really improves their lives at the moment. And I reckon this is a minor tweak that would provide a new incentive that would go like some way to aligning the incentives of the super rich with everyone else in the country. See ya.